Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, I want to say hello and good afternoon to each and every one that has joined us. I want to give a special welcome to you all and just want to say it is tremendous to be here once again and to know that the Lord our God is still with us and that we are still in the land of the living. Amen. I just pray that the Lord has blessed you all throughout the week and that you all have been able to enjoy and see the blessings of the Lord upon your life. He is really helping us to get prepared for what is to come, I would say, because we know that time is winding up and it won't be long before he put in his appearance. And with all that's going on, I think it's telling us in no uncertain terms that Jesus is indeed coming again. At this time, we are close to the Christmas, and I can't believe how close we are to the Christmas season, and people are busy getting ready for Christmas and doing their Christmas shopping and all the rest of it. And I wonder, as we focus upon that and focus upon the birth of Jesus Christ coming into this world, how many of us are remembering why he came and what was the reason for his coming? So I hope that for those of us who are listening, as we listen, we'll keep that in mind and, you know, remember as we go through this Christmas season, remember why it was that Jesus left heaven and came to earth and live, and not only live but also die on our behalf. So I just want to say welcome again and good afternoon to one and all, and in a very special way, I just want to bring in my co-host, Sister Jackie Grace. Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, praise God, and I hope each and everyone here is doing good.
It's all such right.
A wonderful opportunity we have to gather together again to be prepared, mm-hmm. because we need to be reminded that this is the dress up period, you know?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep.
Yep. And it's a blessing just to be alive.
Amen.
Just to be alive, because we know all the things that's happening with, you know, the terror attacks, and if not terrorists, people are dying from disease and different sicknesses and illnesses. And so when we are, you know, still in the land of the living and still can reach out and talk to each other and not only talk but also discuss the word of God, that is a blessing beyond anything else that, you know, that I can ask for, or I know that any of us can ask for. And so I just want to ask you, how was your week so far?
Wonderful. It's by God's grace that we are here. You know, he kept us through the night, allow us to see this brand new day that wasn't promised to us. I had a wonderful week. The kids, they had a recital on their musical instrument at school, and this weekend they'll be having another one. You know, we are in the Christmas season, and I pray that we will keep, you know, Jesus as priority this Christmas season, you know, and something that will help us to remember that he's the reason for this season is the three C's. The three C's is the cradle, the cross, and the crown, you know, the cradle, the cross, and the crown.
Wow. Amen. I like that. The cradle, the cross, and the crown. They go together.
Yeah, because he came, you know, as a newborn baby in the cradle.
Mm-hmm.
He came to die. He was hung on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's back on the throne in his right place, on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Praise God, in his rightful place.
Amen.
And
amen.
One day
and
he'll
then...
come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise
Lord
God.
Lord of Lords. That's right, that's right. And we're looking forward to that day also. All right, let me just introduce our topic for today. Today we're talking about heaven and hell, because as we mentioned before, and as you rightly said, you know, that is the whole reason why Jesus came, because there is a heaven, and sometimes we get caught up with that, but also there is a hell as well. And he wanted to make sure that each and every one of us got the opportunity to be with him in heaven. And that is why he came. Because once our forefathers, Adam and Eve, you know, foreparents, Adam and Eve sinned, we were all destined for one place, and that was destruction. And Jesus in his love could not allow that. And so he came. And it's amazing, talk about heaven and hell and how often it is involved in our conversation, and sometimes we don't even realize the seriousness of it, you know, like if somebody new take over a team or a new pastor come to a church, sometimes you might hear they say, okay, pastor, now we got a new pastor, now just give them hell, or something like that, or a new coach, a new manager, he said, you know, he's going to give them a lot of trouble, and you say, give them hell, and then sometimes you might talk about something that's good happening. If you have like a couple that you see that are and you believe that they're perfect for each other, and they got married, and you would say, hey, that was a match made in heaven. Am I right? Or something like that. So we use these idioms and these proverbs all the time, and we never really try to, at least sometimes, we don't connect them to the seriousness with which they were intended, and why these, you know, not only words, but why these thoughts and ideas are really here in terms of heaven and hell. And so as we look at Christmas, and by the way, next week we're going to do a special Christmas program. So I just want everybody to think about that and to really focus on what probably memories, good memories that you have about Christmas, maybe something like that along that line, or just share something that makes Christmas special to you. So we're not going to do that today, but next week, for all those who are listening, I want you to just keep that in mind. And then so when you call in, be prepared, because I'm going to call on you to share some of these thoughts, to share some of, you know, the ideas that make Christmas so special to you. But today, like I said, you know, I just want to talk a little bit about heaven and hell. And while most of us believe that no one experiences heaven or hell until sometime after death, we still insist on associating it with the present, you know. Like I said, my topic is heaven and hell, when all hell break loose. You know, that's another idiom or another proverb that we use. You know, I could remember when I was small, my dad, when when he would threaten us, you know, he says, if you guys become, my parents had five boys, there was no girls in our house. We were all five boys growing up, and I was the oldest of the five. And so my dad would said, if you guys make me come come down there to you all, you know, if you, when we were misbehaving or stuff like that, he would say, if you guys make me come down there to you all, it's going to be hell to play. Something like that. Or he says, all hell will break loose if I only come home and that house is in disarray or something like that. If he's, you know, on his way home or something like that, he says, all hell is going to break loose. Things like he would use, and you know, and I know we have heard that. But what does it really mean when we talk about hell, Jackie? And is our life today has anything to do with it as we go about our normal life and as we live today? Would it have any impact upon where we're going to be, whether it's going to be in heaven or hell, or that decision is made sometime after death? What do you think about that, Jackie?
I think the life we live here on earth will tell us where we're going to spend eternity, because if we live a life dedicated to the Lord, living in the Lord's will, walking in His will, doing His will, spreading His word, teaching, doing what He commands us to do, like go ye into all the world and, you know, share His love with people who are lost, you see, then we know where we are going to spend eternity. Just like I heard people saying, you know, I know where I came from or when or how I came, but I do not know where I'm going. Of course, you know, because if you live for the Lord, you know that there is a hope of eternity. You know, just like it said, what it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. You see, if you live for the for the world, you will get a world payment. You know where you're going to spend eternity. You know, it's like in hell. But if you accept the Lord, choose to live for the Lord, you know that you're living by hope, that there is life after this life, nothing compared to what we have and call life today. You see, so there is hope, you know, and there is a difference in living for the Lord and living in the world, because we cannot struggle the fence. You know, we cannot be warm and cold at the same time. Can't be lukewarm, you know.
Amen. Amen. Well, I like that word that you used there, Jackie. You said we cannot straddle the fence. And I guess we're going to discuss that a little more as we get into our program. But I want to play a song, and I thank you for that thought. I want to play a song that deals with heaven. It's not one that we play too often, but I just want us to listen. It's one that I like to listen to every once in a while myself. So let us listen to this song. And then after we come back, we're going to pray and get into our study for today. Thank you. All right, we are ready to pray. I just want to thank God for that song that was B.B. and C.C. Winehouse, and they're saying heaven is what they live for. And we're going to discuss that a little bit as we get into it. Let us just bow our heads and close our eyes as we turn our hearts towards God. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to be here today and for your word. We pray and ask that as we are about to look at it now, that you may guide and direct our thoughts and fill our minds with your Holy Spirit so that we can learn and comprehend the things that you have in store for us today. We thank you for all our listeners that are on the line. We pray and ask that you may bless each and every one of them, bless each and every home that they represent. Help that by thy grace that your spirit and your presence may be with them and be in their homes, and they may be drawn closer to you at the end of this study. Father, I thank you so much for our co-host, Jackie Grace. I pray for her and her children at this time. I pray for her husband, and I pray that you may continue to give her your strength and your wisdom so that she may continue to live for you and to continue to let her light so shine so that men and women seeing her may come to know her, may come to know you through her and call you blessed. Oh, Father, I pray for each and every one else that is on the line as well, each and every family that is represented again. Lord, we lift them up and we pray for those who are not here with us today. For whatever reason, we just ask that you may be with them where they are and help that by thy grace that they too may be blessed as we move into the sacred hours of your holy Sabbath day. Father, we thank you so much again for Jesus Christ and for what he did and for what he's doing, even now as he stands at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. We are so happy that he is there so that he can forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we just ask, O God, that you may bless us beyond compare. Forgive us for all that we have done and said that were not pleasing in your sight. And help us, O Father, to walk in the path of righteousness each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. As we get into this study, I want us to look at the text, Jackie. And we're, by the way, let me just say this. We are going to be doing things a little different. We started it a couple of weeks ago, and then we want to continue in that instead of having the discussion period at the end of the study where we share the word and then have the discussion, what we're going to do is try to get the discussion period from the beginning right up, and then at the end we're going to try to just share a thought just to wrap things up. So we're going to have the discussion period up front. So everyone that's listening, you know, be prepared to contribute, be prepared to say something and to just lend your voice to what we are discussing here. All right. And we're going to start off the discussion. As I said before, the topic for today is heaven and hell, right? When all hell breaks loose. That's the topic. Heaven and hell, when will all hell break loose? In other words, when will things come to an end? Heaven and hell, when will all hell break loose? That's the topic. And we might spend a couple of weeks discussing this, but remember next week we're going to spend some more time just talking about our favorite memories about Christmas, right? All right. But to begin our study for today, I'm going to share a text from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. And Jackie, since I shared this text with you before, I'm going to ask you to start off the discussion, right? When we get into the discussion, I would ask you to start the discussion off with me. So, let me read the text and then I'll ask a question. The text says in Galatians 6 and verse 7, the Bible reads, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And I'm going to read that again. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, Jackie, since you had this text earlier in the week and you looked at it and chewed on it and everything like that, I want to see how would you relate this particular text to heaven and hell.
Okay, we noticed that in the Bible we see Jesus using bull of sowing and reaping in different passages throughout the Bible. And let's think for a minute. You are a farmer, you know, you are a farmer. You want to get the best product of what you are, you know, you want to reap good seed of what you are planting, what you are sowing. So you will select the best seed to sow. You know, you will select the better quality seed, because if you sow a bad quality seed, that's what you will reap. You know, when harvest comes, you will reap a poor quality product. So here we need to remember that life is related to seed, you know. Life is related to seed. And if we spend our life seeking the things of the world, what would we reap? Corruption. Because if we don't seek the things to nourish the soul, then, you know, we wouldn't inherit eternal life. Just like you have a child, for example. You have a child, and the Bible tells us we must train them up the way they should go. You know, so when they get old, they will not depart from it. But if you don't train that child nothing and let that child go their own way, and they start bringing trouble on your head, heaping up trouble on your head, rebellious, having their own way, getting into situation all the time, causing parents a headache, is because you did not sow the right seed in their life, you know. So if you plant, if you sow apple, you can't expect to get maybe banana, you see. So sowing is very important to have in mind what we are sowing, what our children are seeing in our life, you know, what the world is seeing when we sow. You know, are you sowing that seed for the Lord, or you are sowing for the world, you see? And that will depend where are we going to end up, you know, heaven or hell. Because if you sow for the soul, then you know there is hope after this life. But if you sow for the flesh, you will sow corruption, you know. You will go to an eternal hell where nobody wants to spend eternity in hell, you see. So it's important to sow the seed, because also the world is watching us as believers, as followers of Christ, you see. They are waiting for one wrong thing, you know, to say, well, I don't think I want to follow that Jesus you are following. So we have to also bear this in mind. Love is important. You know, if you sow love, you will reap love. But if you sow hatred, you know, that's what you will reap. So there is so much, you know, related to this that you can talk about, but I'll let somebody else say something so, you know, no one will think I'm taking over.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much for that. And you said a lot there, Jackie. And I mean, there are some things that you said are very interesting. And I like the fact that you said that it's a parable that was told, that Paul is telling us here. But this parable is very true and it's very real. And you talk about the quality of the seed that you sow, and you know, according to what you sow, that is what is going to bring forth. You can sow, you know, one thing like apples and then expect to get grape, but you got to expect to get exactly what you sow. So I am all with that, and I'm going to open the line to somebody else also to share. All the lines are open, by the way, to share their thoughts. And I'm going to, my wife is on the line, I'm going to call her to ask her about this same text and ask her what she thinks about this. Anne?
I am here. My thoughts on, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. My thoughts about sowing what you reap is not, you know, too far off from what Sister Jackie just said, because, you know, some people call it karma, but I just call it what God says. It's what you sow, that's what you reap. You know, the things that you put out into the world, that's what you're going to get back. And like Sister Jackie rightfully said, if you sow bananas, you're going to get back bananas. You definitely wouldn't get apples or cherries. You're going to get what you put out there. And if you're putting out positive energy, is putting out positive things, blessings to people, you know, things like that, praying for each other, that's what you're going to get back. And that would determine your reward, which is being prepared for each one of us. Like right now, we are being judged, because when Jesus comes, he is coming for a people that are ready. And he isn't coming to make any one of us ready. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared to go to heaven, to go back with him. He isn't coming and then going to make us ready when he comes. We have to be already prepared so that when the trumpet sounds and time to give out reward, which is heaven, we are prepared. And whatever we put out, that's what determines our reward. Either we go to hell or we go to heaven with Jesus when he comes. That's my response to sowing and reaping.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm gonna ask another question here as we look at this. And to begin this particular text, Paul says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, whatsoever a man soweth." Whatsoever. I wonder what that word really means there as we look at that. For whatsoever a man soweth. And I know Jasmine is on the line. Jasmine, how are you doing? Hello? Jasmine? All right. I'm going to try Michael. Maybe Jasmine is a little shy, but Michael, I'm going to ask you the same question. What does that word whatsoever means to you? Whatsoever. What do you understand by that word? Paul says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth." What does that say?
I would assume that the word whatsoever means like anything. Like how we said, whatsoever a man do, anything a man does.
All right. Anything a man does. I like that answer, Michael. Thank you so much. Very short and brief. Let me go back to Jackie. Jackie, what does that word say to you? What do you understand by that word where it says whatsoever? Hello? Okay, I'm not getting Jackie. Let me go back to Anne. Anne, what do you think about that word, whatsoever? A man saw it.
Whatsoever, like Michael said, you know, it's whatever you do. You know, there's no half-stepping. There's no little something. You see, we have to take the word as it is, as it says it is. It says whatsoever. And the word whatsoever means just about everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatsoever you do,
mm-hmm.
what it means, the things that you do, the things that you say, you know, whatsoever a man does.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not just some of it. It's whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, Anne. Thank you so much, and Michael, for that. And the reason why I asked that question, because as you all both says and says rightly, when Paul says there whatsoever, it encompasses everything, every possible variety. He says whatsoever man, so it means every possible variety of seed that you sow will bring forth an harvest. Whether you sow something that is good or whether something that is bad, it says in the physical world or in the natural world, when you plant a seed, you know, whether it's a wild thorn or whether it's a, you know, something that will bring fruit or whether it's a rose bush or whatever, that seed will spring up sometime or the other and it's going to bring forth something. I mean, sometimes the seed can get, you know, eaten by worms or whatever. But if that seed is not eaten or destroyed or, you know, blown away by the wind or something like that, that seed will grow and it will produce something and it will bring forth a harvest. And so Paul is saying here that every aspect of our lives, we need to keep in mind, you know, everything that we do, every possible thing that we see, our actions and everything like that, it produces something, right? It brings forth something, whether it's something good or something bad. We might not realize it. We might not know what we are doing. Sometimes we might go out and help someone cross the street. That is a good act, and it will produce something. And that is what Paul is saying. And ultimately, when the sum of all these things that we do, things that we see and everything is taken into consideration, when Christ comes, it will determine where we will, you know, spend eternity, whether we're going to be spending it in heaven or in hell. And so as we go about life, you know, some people like to say, well, there are some sins that are big sins and there are little sins. And we will say, well, some people say, well, okay, I'm not committing a big sin, like you would consider murder a big sin. So you're saying, I wouldn't murder anybody, I wouldn't kill anybody. But you would probably just tell a little lie or a white lie, so to speak. You know, it's not too bad, it's just a little lie, you know. But a sin is a sin, whether it's big or small. You see? And everything, it says, every possible variety, that's what Paul is saying, whatsoever you do it is going to have some kind of a bearing upon your life, whether it's for good or for bad. And not only upon your life in this world, but upon eternity, you know, upon your life and where you're going to spend eternity. And that's why he says, whether, you know, you're an adult or a child or whatever, when we are born in sin, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even the little children, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, because we are all born in sin. So there is no such thing as a big sin and a little sin. And some people believe that, you know, well, if they're not, you know, doing like what the terrorists do and killing people and killing themselves and all the rest of it, then they're doing good. But they can, you know, do little things and it should be okay. God should be able to overlook the little things that we do, the little sins, so to speak, or the white lies or the, you know, whatever we might consider as a little sin, you know, whether it's just stealing a cookie from the jar or whatever. But, excuse me. But here Paul is telling us that every possible variety of seed that is sown will produce a harvest. And he's also saying here by this one, he says, whatsoever, he says, no matter how small or how seemingly insignificant the seed you scatter, it will bring some kind of a result. And if that is the case, then what that should tell us is that we need to be careful about what we are scattering. Am I right? We need to be careful about the seeds that we are planting. Because whether they are small or great, whether they are, you know, wild or whether they are, you know, something that is very good, it will bring forth a result and it will produce, you know, a harvest. And we want to make sure that whatever we're going to reap from what is sown would be something that would help us to advance or move towards the kingdom. All right? Okay, let me look at another aspect of this particular text, because like Jackie rightly said, there's so much in here, you know, that we can spend 2-3 hours just discussing this one text. All right, Paul says, whatsoever a man soweth, right, that shall he also reap. And what he's saying here, that the harvest is determined by the seed that is sown. Jackie said, and Anne also said, you can't plant bananas and hope to get grapes from it. You're going to get the exact thing that you plant. The seed that you plant, that is the exact, you know, fruit that you're going to reap. You're not going to reap something else. You know, so if you sow to the flesh, so to speak, as Paul says, then the reaping is going to be to the flesh. You understand? If you sow to the spirit, because that is, those are the two things that we sow to, the spirit, which is doing the things of God, then you're going to reap the things of the spirit. And we know that the sowing to the spirit will help us to reap eternal life when Jesus comes. But sowing to the flesh, which is doing the things that are wrong, will help us to reap the harvest of the flesh, which is destruction and hellfire. Just to give an example of this, let us look at what happened in the beginning with Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden, right? God had told Adam and Eve, he says, look, you know, this is this garden I've made for you guys, and this is your home. And I'm just paraphrasing here. And you can live and you can eat of every tree in the garden. But he said, there's one tree that I'm putting in the midst of the garden that you guys should not eat of. And because the day you eat of this tree, you're going to surely die. Now let us look at sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit now. Somehow Eve wandered away from Adam. The Bible never explained how that happened. And then she was by this tree all alone. And the devil used that opportunity, disguising himself as a snake or coming in a snake. And he used that opportunity to tempt Eve while she was by this tree all alone without Adam there. And she said, he said to Eve, he basically asked her, he said, did God say you should not eat of this tree? And Eve said, yeah, we should not only not eat of it, we should not even touch it, or else we're going to die. And Satan basically said to her, you know, God said the day you eat of it or touch it, you're going to surely die. That was what Eve said, but Satan said, no, you shall not surely die. But if you eat from this tree, you're going to become wise and you're going to know good and evil and all the rest of it and all the, you know, things. And Eve began to listen to the devil and she began to be seduced by him and the words that he was saying and the things that, you know, she thought she didn't have that she would get from eating of this tree, and she decided to take from it and eat. Look how everything that she did was sowing to the flesh, so to speak, and not to the spirit. Because when she ate of that tree, the Bible said, or before she ate of that tree, of that tree, she looked at the tree and she looked at the fruit, and it says it was good for food, right? So into the flesh, it was good for food. Now, Eve did not lack food. Eve was not starving, so to speak, that she had to, you know, take of this fruit and eat. But the Bible says she looked at it and she saw it was good for food. And yes, it was good, because there was nothing really wrong with the tree itself or the fruit on it, because everything that God had made was good. The only thing that was wrong was that God told them not to eat of it, and they needed to be obedient. That was it, right? It was just about being obedient. So she saw that it was good for food, and she decided to pick that fruit and she ate it. But before she ate it also, the Bible says that she saw that it was desirous to make her wise. In other words, she would know something that she never knew before. There again. Right? You call that pride, because she wanted to know something that she had never known before. And what was that thing? Was it something good for her? Not really. The only thing that she didn't know before was what was death and suffering and pain and things like that. You know? And the devil never told her what those things were going to be like. But she just thought that, hey, I'm going to get to know something that I never knew. It was desirous to make her wise. Now, she didn't, not everything that we don't know, we need to know. You know, like some of us might have never used drugs before, and that is good. You don't need to take drugs to know what drugs is like and to know the dangers of it. And you don't need to go and take in coke and all of that to know what cocaine is like. You see? You can learn from other people and from their experience and from what they said about it and know that it's not good. You read in the news that people overdose on drugs and, you know, and they get killed and they die and stuff like that. So you don't need to do that. You don't need to go and join a gang to know that you shouldn't be in a gang, because you can get killed and all the rest of it. You just read about people who are doing these things. You understand? You don't need to go and steal to know that, you know, to experience what it's like to be in jail, right? You didn't want to know that. But Eve thought that it was something good that she was missing out on, you know, by not knowing what sin was all about. You see? And so she took of the fruit, and there again, it was sowing to the flesh. And the Bible says there are three things that we do. The lust of the flesh, right? The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And so let me see how those three play into what Eve did. So she took of the fruit was good for food. So that was the lust of the flesh right there. It was desirous to make one wise, right? That was the pride of life right there. Okay? And she saw, the Bible says she saw that it was good. She looked at it and she saw that it was good. So there you have the lust of the eyes. She looked upon it and she saw that it was good. So you have the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And those, any sin that you commit would fall in one of those three categories. And those are the things that what you call sowing to the or planting seed to the flesh. Because whether you steal something, it's because you're coveting it, you look at it and you want it. It was not hers to take, right? God had told her not to touch of that tree. And so she should not have taken it. He told her to eat from all the other trees in the garden. But that particular one, the fruits of that tree, she was not supposed to touch. And she did touch it. And so that is how disobedience came. That is how sin came into the world. It came through disobedience. They disobeyed God. So if disobedience is what brings sin and what brought death into the world, then what is it that will bring life and keep us from death? and keep us from destruction. After Adam and Eve sinned, they were removed from the garden, their lovely home that they had, with everything there and everything that was peaceful and loving and kind. It was no longer available to them because they disobeyed. Right? So whenever we sin, whenever we do what is wrong, whenever we, it doesn't matter how small it is, you know, if the Bible says you should not covet, we might not have taken something, really. We might have not stolen it, but the fact that we wanted it and it didn't belong to us, you know, coveting it, desiring it, even though it's not ours, that is a sin. And there again, it's all sowing. That is what you call sowing to the flesh. So all the things that we do that are sinful, whenever we, you know, tell a lie or cheat or you know, steal and all these things, covet, it says commit adultery or fornication, all of that is sowing to the flesh, and all of that is disobeying what God says, because he says that we should not do it, right? And when we obey God and do the things that he asks us to do, then we are sowing to the Spirit, you see? And that is how we have life, and that is how we have eternal life. So the question is, when does hell or heaven really begins? And that's a good question there. Does it begin after we die or right now? And I just want to say that it starts right now, because it starts with what we do and say here today. All right? It's not when we get to heaven, but what we do today, every day of our lives as we live. As Jackie said, we are not straddling the fence, really, because every day of our lives, we are planting seeds either for good or for evil. Every day of our lives and everything that we do and everything that we say. You understand, as we go about meeting people, we are either doing something that would help that person towards eternity, or we are doing something that would take them away from eternity and help them to, you know, I mean, take them away from spending eternity in heaven and place them in a position where they're threatened with eternity in hell, right? And it's the same thing we're doing for our lives. Now, the important thing to remember, though, that we cannot make up anybody's minds for them. Everyone has to make a decision for themselves. Now, we can influence them like what the devil did with Eve. He definitely tempted Eve. But that was all he did, and that's all the devil can do. He can just tempt us. But when we sin, when we do what is wrong, we have to make up our mind to do it. And that is something that sometimes we don't even realize. But whenever we sin, it's a conscious decision to rebel against God. That was exactly what Eve did. Because God told her not to eat of the fruit, because he said, the day you eat, you're going to surely die. Eve looked at it and she reasoned within herself that, hey, there's nothing really wrong with this, you know, fruit from this tree. So why can't I eat it? Nothing is wrong with it. It is not poisonous. It's not going to kill me. So why can't I eat it? Well, you can't eat it because God said not to. That was the reason why. And that was the sin. You can't do it because God, the Almighty, told you not to do it. You know, it's just like with us who are parents and children. You know, we might tell our children not to do something, and they're going to be like, why? Why can't I do it, you know? If I want to go to a party or something like that and you know, my parents would tell me not to go, then I'd be like, why? Like, I could remember when I was little, we had a fair used to come up to our area. A fair is like a carnival. They call it carnival over here. Every year in the summertime when school is out, they would bring this carnival to our area. It's not too far. Maybe it was just like about 10 minutes from where we were living, and it would be in a big schoolyard, and they would have all kind of thrills, and you know, the merry-go-round and all these things would be there, and so the Ferris wheel and all of that. And so me and my brother, we were like about 10, I was 10 and he was like about 8 years old, And we wanted to go. My parents told us not to go. Our parents told us not to go to the carnival. They said, wait until Sunday, and then when Sunday comes, we're going to take you Sunday afternoon. But we wanted to go Saturday night, because Saturday night you have all the experience, all the excitement is there on Saturday night. And then we hear our friends during the day said they're going to go Saturday night. They're not waiting until Sunday afternoon. And so when we thought our parents were sleeping, me and my brother, we got dressed, because we were, you know, we had our own room, and we snuck out the house. Of course, we didn't have keys, so when we went, we left the door open so that we can get in back. And we just went to the carnival, man, and we had a good time. And when we came home back, of course, my parents was there. They were up and waiting for us. And to make a long story short, my mother had the belt there, and she was going to give us a good whipping. But just the fact that we made it back home and we were safe, you know, imagine that, a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old sneaking out the house and getting away. And we came back. It wasn't too late, but, I mean, just getting away and going to something like that, to a carnival all by ourselves. She was just so happy to see us come back, you know, that she didn't even bother beat us. She just told us to, you know what, get in your bed, and that was it. And she, you know, cut us a break on that one. But there was nothing really wrong with going to the carnival or anything like that. The only thing that was wrong, the big thing that was wrong, the sin that we committed that night, was that we disobeyed our parents. Because both she and my dad, we wanted to go. We asked them, and they said, no, wait until Sunday. And then they're going to take us Sunday afternoon. But we could not wait. We wanted to go, you know, Saturday night. And so it's the same thing with Eve there in the garden. God told her not to eat of the fruit, but she wanted to taste what it was like. And we know what happened. Today we have the experience of heaven and hell. And that is the same thing with the same thing that we face every day as we go through life. The key is that when me and my brother left home, is that we made that decision to go. That was our decision. It's not like we didn't know better, we weren't warned or anything like that, but we just decided that we were going to disobey our parents and we were going to go. The same thing Eve did. Eve looked at the tree. She saw it was good for food. It was desirous to make one wise, and you know, and all the rest of it, and whatever. But she reasoned within herself that she had to eat that fruit. And she ate of it, and then she gave it to Adam, and Adam also, for whatever reason, he also decided that he was going to eat it. So they knew that it was wrong, and they both disobeyed. And so they made the choice to do what is wrong. And most times when we sin, we are not forced to do or to commit that sin, whatever the sin is that we do. And I just want us to think about that. Most times we make a decision to do it. It's our decision when we're going to do wrong. You know, whether we're going to commit adultery, we're going to go and, you know, sleep around with somebody to whom we're not married. You know, that's a decision that we have to make. If we're going to tell a lie, we decide on that before we do it, you know, because we believe that it would make us look good, or it will get us out of a fix or whatever. And we decide to tell a lie, and all the rest of it. Every sin that we commit, most of the time, it is a decision that we, you know, decide, even if it's in a split second that we had, that we had to do, and we had to make that decision to do the things that are wrong. You see? And that is why when Christ comes a second time, and we are not ready, or we have been sowing these bad seeds, so to speak, sowing the seeds that, you know, the seeds that sowing to the flesh, so to speak, when Christ comes, we're going to end up going where we don't want to go, which is directly into hell, Because if we have not made up our minds to do the right thing and to sow seeds according to the Spirit, and sowing seed according to the Spirit is basically being obedient to God and living for Him, then we are not going to make it to heaven. We have to make up our minds and to make that conscious decision that we are going to live for Him and live through Him. Now, we cannot do it all by ourselves, and we don't have to. That is what the Holy Spirit is there for. That is why Jesus said when He was leaving, He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and He's going to come, and He's going to be with you. And not only is He going to be with you, but He said the Holy Spirit is going to be within you. But the thing is that you have to invite the Holy Spirit to come in. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said, He said, He stand at the door and knock. Right? And He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, He says, I will come in and dwell with him and he with me. And then the Holy Spirit being within us will give us the strength to do what is right. Amen? But you have to decide. You have to say, well, hey, I want God's Spirit within me. I want Him to come and dwell within me so that He can help me and give me the strength to keep from doing what is wrong and to do what is right. Because it is not always possible for us to do the right thing all by ourselves. Sometimes because we have been here living in sin for so long, you know, and we have been living in this world that has been polluted with sin for so long, it becomes difficult for us to do what is right. Our natural bent, so to speak, is to do the things that are wrong. You know, let us look at Romans 7. If you have your Bible, you can look at Romans 7, verses 14 and 15. And this is going to be our, as we wrap up, Romans 7, 14 and 15. And this is what Paul says. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, that is what I do. And many of us can say that like Paul. And this is the Apostle Paul who is saying that. He's a man of God, a religious man. And he is saying that many a times the things that he didn't want to do, that is what he do. And the things that he wanted to do, you know, he could not do it. And that is what it's like if we live in the flesh. And that is why you see a lot of people who drink and drunk and people who do drugs and stuff like that. A lot of times they don't want to do it, right? But because the flesh is so weak, they cannot find the strength on their own to do the things that are right. Right? A lot of times, you know, you find even to people that live on the street and all of that, they don't want to do it. But, you know, the flesh is so strong, and because we've been living for so long in sin, it is easier for us to do what is right. And so that is why we have to do the thing that we can do, which is just to open our hearts and to invite Jesus to come in, so that when He comes in through the form of His Holy Spirit, then He can give us the strength to do what is right and to live the life that is pleasing in His sight. Amen? And that's why Paul said, it's not by might nor by power. I don't think it's Paul, but somewhere in the Bible it says that, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So, as we go through this Christmas season, as we think about life and we think about the things that we do every day, I just pray that some way, somehow, this study today may help us to realize and to think more seriously about who is controlling our lives and who we are allowing to come in and to influence us. Because knowing that whatsoever we sow, we're going to reap that same thing. We're not going to reap something else. You know, some people believe that you can do one thing and still get something else. In other words, some people believe that, hey, you know, I don't have to live for Christ, but I'm not living a bad life, so I'm still going to make it into heaven. what Paul is saying here in this text is not so, is not true. If you're going to make it into heaven, if we're going to make it into heaven, it is because we are being obedient to Christ. And in order to be obedient to him, in order to live for him, right, we must invite him to come in. We must ask him to take charge of our lives. We must make that full and complete surrender to him. So I know we have gone over time, and by the grace of God, we are still online. So I just want to thank God for that. We didn't get cut off. And we're going to continue some more on this in the future. But as we wrap up today, I want us to just think about this. And that's why I'm spending a little time with you. Just think about it. That in our own strength, we cannot make it, and we would not make it. But with Christ in our lives, all things are possible. Amen? With Christ in our lives, all things are possible. So, would you open your hearts tonight and let him come in? He is calling. Like he said in Revelation chapter 3, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He says, "If any man hear my voice and open, I will come in and sup with you." It doesn't mean that when he come in that you're going to live perfect from there on. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes, but then he will give you the courage to ask for forgiveness so that you can get up and strive towards living what is right, towards living the life that is right and pleasing in his sight, okay? So as we close, Jackie, I want you to pray for us. And pray for each and every one that is listening. We can't even do our closing song because we're over time and we're still on by grace, I guess. The grace of God is keeping us running tonight. But Jackie is going to pray for us to close. And just pray that the Lord would help us to open up and let him come in so that his spirit can guide and direct and give us the strength to do the things that are right, to be a blessing to people as we go through the Christmas season, not only to expect blessings from others and to just receive from others, but also to bless others, if not with gifts, with words of kindness, and you know, just by praying for somebody and sharing even Jesus Christ with them, the real reason for the season. So, Jackie, before we get cut off, can you say a word of prayer for us, please?
Praise God, he did not leave us hopeless. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity, Lord, that we have to receive spiritual nourishment today. We pray
Amen.
That you will touch heart and that we will hide your words in our hearts, that we will not sin against you. Lord, we thank you for the speaker. We thank you for each and every person that were here present. And we also want to thank you for the people who will be listening to this at a later date. Lord, bless them
Amen.
And be with us all
Amen.
As we leave this Bible study, but not your presence, Lord, that we will have a wonderful rest of day in you. And I ask you, Lord, that people will open up their hearts to receive you, Lord, as their personal Savior, if they haven't yet, Lord. Help us all to be encouraged and to remember and be thankful for the Comforter, and also to be reminded that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. All right. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. Thank you and thank God for keeping us online over time. We are a little bit over. And I just pray that God may bless and keep us. Jackie?
God bless you.
Have a blessed evening. Yes, I'm going to touch base with you on Sunday.
Okay, thank you.
To talk a little bit
Bye,
more
everyone.
The program. Bye. Good night.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. Chest of God. is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Blessed assurance.